Saw a video on YouTube not long ago about a teenage girl. There was a birthday party for a teenage girl. I guess it was her 16th birthday party. And her mom apparently decided to surprise her with a very nice birthday gift, a brand new Lexus automobile. Have any of you guys seen this video? Does it ring a bell to anybody at all? Tripped me out, man. So the mom was so excited about it. She just wanted to bless her little girl. Bought her this Lexus. I believe it was navy blue, if I remember right. Gorgeous car, brand new, shining. And she had somebody videotape it so she could capture her daughter's expression on the camera and everything. And you could just tell the anticipation in the air. And so they bring the daughter out, and she presents her with her birthday gift, this brand new Lexus. And the daughter throws a temper tantrum right there on the spot, begins crying, carrying on, flailing her arms, going, "How could you do this? How could you do this?" Apparently, it was the wrong car. It wasn't the one that she wanted. I don't know, maybe it was just the wrong color or something. I don't know. But she totally spazzed out in front of everybody. Her friends are gathered there. There's people standing around. The video camera's going on. And she's going, "How could you?" And she's walking back and forth, throwing her arms, screaming at her mom how she has embarrassed her and humiliated her in front of her friends because it's not the one. It's the wrong one. "How could you do this to me?" And what's even more amazing is her mom remained totally composed. She didn't fall apart. She didn't freak out. She didn't holler back or retaliate or anything. She just very graciously and calmly let her daughter rave and rave on while the camera captured the whole thing. And this daughter is just going on about how humiliated her mom has made her and embarrassed her mom has made her. And I'm thinking to myself, girl, I'm thinking a lot of things to myself, you know, but... And I'm thinking, girl, you are embarrassed, you are humiliated, and my heart is breaking for this woman, this poor, gracious, loving woman who has done this thing and is being embarrassed and just torn down in front of all these people and in front of the camera for all the world to see. And then the video ends, and I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to see more. I want to find out what happens that night. You know? But I was amazed at how this girl could be, what in the world kind of frame of mind did she have that she could just despise such a gracious, amazing gift? Does anybody feel that same way to hear the story? Man, yeah, it's incredible. Well, you know, our God has given His church some gracious, wonderful, beautiful, powerful, and amazing gifts, spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, hasn't He? Lovingly. Did we deserve them? No. By His grace and love, these amazing, supernatural, powerful, gracious gifts of the Holy Spirit, they include prophecy, miracles, healings, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of help, gifts of administration. I could go on and on and on. And especially one amazing little gift that you particularly see among charismatics and Pentecostals in their churches, known as the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. And we don't mean, of course, the organ between our jaws. We're talking about the old English word for languages, tongues, languages, the gift of speaking in languages that one has never learned, maybe even heavenly languages, the gift of praying to God in a heavenly language that builds us up. Scripture says it edifies us. It builds us up. It facilitates power in the believer in order to carry on spiritual warfare. It is a wonderful, beautiful, gracious gift of the Holy Spirit to His church. And do you know, it is one of the most awkward, uncomfortable, embarrassing gifts of the Holy Spirit, even in Pentecostal churches today that proclaim it, believe it, and practice it, yet so many times we are embarrassed by it or feel awkward about it or get uncomfortable when it's brought up. Was there anybody in here that just felt a twinge of discomfort or uncomfortableness when I brought up the gift of speaking in tongues today? Okay, yeah, honestly, yeah. Do you know I sometimes get a twinge of uncomfortableness when I speak about it? Isn't that amazing? This beautiful gift that cost our Lord Jesus Christ his very life, that he bled and suffered and died to provide to you and for me, to his church, we are often uncomfortable, awkward, and embarrassed about, in spite of his graciousness and love. And, you know, I was on a website, an Assemblies of God USA website for pastors this weekend. And it was fascinating. It was wonderful, wonderful study exercise. And I read an article by a man whose ministry is to go around to the various Assemblies of God churches and coach their pastors in how to administer what they refer to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit accompanied by the evidence of speaking in tongues. His job is basically to go out to various churches and talk to the pastors about how they can pray for people so that they can be filled with the Spirit and begin speaking in tongues. That's his job. Wow. And he said, you would be amazed. In this Pentecostal, one of the largest Pentecostal denominations in the country, Assemblies of God USA, how many times, how frequently he meets with these pastors and finds that they are discouraged and awkward and embarrassed about the gift of speaking in tongues. So much to the point that even in these Pentecostal denominations, they won't even preach about it anymore, much less attempt to administer it to somebody. And he says there's a few reasons for that. Number one, frequently, members have prayed for it without receiving it, and the pastors feel like if they bring it up, it's going to make their members feel awkward or discouraged or embarrassed, and so they just don't even bring it up anymore. Number two, because the pastors themselves have prayed with so many people to receive this without success, without seeing any results, and when they bring it up, it makes them feel like a failure. And so they don't want to bother bringing it up anymore because it makes them feel just incompetent. I mean, they're a Pentecostal pastor. What are they supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be happening. And then because of all those things, number three, they just get so used to not having it in the church, not speaking about it, not seeing it take place. They get very comfortable with that. And over the years, it gets to the point where they're afraid if that gift ever broke loose in the church, it would scare away all the visitors that have been coming with the church not having it going on. They would lose half the church. They're afraid it might upset the dignity of their worship service. And so they don't even bring it up. They don't preach about it. They much less even ask anybody if they want to be prayed to have this. And so this perpetuates on and on. I saw another article on the same website about the crisis in discipleship in the Assemblies of God USA. And this other pastor was saying, you know, or the superintendent of discipleship was saying, you know, we've got a crisis on our hands. And he goes on and on and on. And he says, one of the aspects of this crisis is out of all the people that made a decision for Christ under the ministry of the Assemblies God USA last year, only one in four actually followed up with water baptism, and only one in five actually followed up to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues. He says, if this rate continues, here we are, one of the largest Pentecostal denominations in the country, here we are, if this rate continues in 10 years, we will be one of the largest Pentecostal denominations that is filled by and large with non-Pentecostals. And he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know, as I was reading these things, I had to chuckle because I myself, as I said, have felt a little awkward about that topic for some of those very same reasons. I could empathize with that. I'm like, yeah, you know, I have never myself personally, although I've been, you know, received mighty baptisms or infillings of the Holy Spirit, and although I've, you know, currently pray in tongues, I have never actually administered that gift to anybody with success. And, you know, you get a little awkward at sometimes. And I, as I was thinking about this and considering some of these things, you know, the Holy Spirit just gave me a vision. As I'm sitting here considering, all of a sudden, it's almost as if I could see in my mind, Jesus is standing there, standing over me, looking down at me so graciously and so lovingly, and saying, John, what are you embarrassed about? I have given you a gift. John, do you realize this gift that I have given to you? Do you realize the price that I paid so that I could give you this gift? Why are you ashamed of me? And as I thought about that, and as that vision sort of just filled my heart, I thought about that girl with that Lexus, and I thought, wow, how could I be embarrassed by what our Lord has done? And am I ashamed? And when I consider the price that he paid, the blood that poured out of him, the scars, the suffering hanging on that cross for me, so that I could have that, and I'm embarrassed by that. And I felt like that girl when she was given the Lexus, and I was like, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And you know what? I frankly don't care anymore what the situation is. And I'll tell you, as we go through this message today, you're going to see that I stand in some pretty good company. And God has done through some pretty amazing things from people who stood in my very shoes right now, as we're going to find out. We need to, you know, whatever results we see or we don't see, number one, we are the Church of Jesus Christ, and we live according to His Word. And His Word is filled with this. God laid it on my heart that that He wants me to preach through the book of Acts very soon. We were in Denver, waking up in the morning to get on the plane in Colorado to fly back to here. And as I woke up in that bed, you know, normally you think, well, the first thing in your thought is, oh, how much time before I need to be at the airport? I woke up in that bed, and the first thing that hit my mind was the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to preach through the book of Acts. It's like, okay. Hey, I want you with me on that plane, Lord. You know, I'll be whatever you want me to do. You want to preach through Acts? Now I'm going to preach through some Acts, man. I'll give you some book of Acts. That's what I'm talking about. But you know, Acts, the book of Acts is filled from start to finish with people speaking in tongues. You know, if we're going to get uncomfortable about that, if we're going to get awkward about that, we might as well just rip the entire book of Acts out of our New Testament, because it is filled with that. You can't even get in there without encountering that kind of thing. That is for us. And you know, as long as we're ripping the book of Acts out of our Bible, we might as well rip out the Gospel of Mark, because it says in there, these signs will follow them who believe. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. As long as we're ripping out the book of Mark, we might as well rip out the book of Luke too, because at the end of that, he says, tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which in the book of Acts, when it comes, they say that's associated with speaking in tongues.